It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today. Hello, welcome, welcome, welcome. It is Monday, January 25th, 2021, and it is, well, yeah, it's 1903 UTC. Sorry for the late start. That's kind of usual. We start around 1900 UTC. Maybe one day I'll get disciplined like Tobe, but until then, it's a little loose, but we'll keep going. I did get my shipment of Chinese tea in, though. I'm very excited. I got 100 grams of Dian Hong and 100 grams of the Da Hong Pao. I think Dian Hong I like similar to Jinjin Mei, but Jinjin Mei is like all the gold tips, and Dian Hong has some of the black leaves in there too. And so, anyway. Excitement. All right, so to get on to the news, we got to start the way we always start.
World news.
World news. And of course, we always start INCOM, which is a SDF chat program. All you need to do is SSH over to SDF, then type COM, and then press G for go to, and then anon radio. Once you do that, magically, you are in COM. Oh yeah. Howdy, howdy. And big shout out and hello to everyone in COM. X1, Miko XYZ, Publius, and press W for who. And you can see everyone that's in the chat, including people normally who are quiet, like Jazzmaz. So big shout out. Thanks everyone for tuning in. Let's get going.
World news.
Want to start with a story that came in from a listener. So let's do this. Starting off in Germany, we have, boop, I believe this came to us. I think Publius sent this in. If you have a story or an idea, you can always email me. I'm MNW. Mike November Whiskey at sdf.org, and hit me up. Ah, shucks. The article's in German. I'll go with what he said. On the one hand, the Environment Ministry is telling everyone they have to switch to electric cars. On the other, the Economy Ministry is saying that thanks to the success of Ingerwind, it will be necessary to install a kill switch in electric vehicle battery chargers. Simply put, if the electric cars currently registered in Germany are a representative example, then 50 million of them, the number of total cars currently registered, would require 150 terawatt hours a year of electricity. That can be compared with the current annual consumption of 600 terawatt hours for the country. Inevitably, there will be substantial periods when the necessary power supply just isn't there. In the summer, for instance, wind generation at night in Germany is relatively small, and of course there is no solar at night. Therefore, if people want to charge their cars while they are in a garage for the night, they will be out of luck. This is not unlike the way the government encouraged people to buy diesel cars for several years, and then in the wake of the emissions cheating scandal, said they would all have to be scrapped. This led to a great deal of support in recent elections for the right-wing AfD from people who can't afford a new car and feel betrayed by the coalition parties. So neat. Oh, welcome. We've got two new people, too. Tex Luthor and Hard Bedouy. that made me think of Boudin for some reason. Anyway, welcome, welcome. That's kind of a neat thing going on in Germany. I wonder how that's going to work out. I watch a bunch of homesteader stuff on YouTube and TikTok and stuff, and those everywhere I can watch videos. And something that comes up often is how to use all the power you're generating, because if you're not tied into the grid, you can't just sell the power back. But in the peak of the day, your batteries are probably full, and so now you've got extra power. My idea is you just use that extra power to pump water uphill, and then use a hydroelectric generator to catch the electricity when it comes down. What do I know? All right. So let's go ahead and jump into some English news. Sorry I couldn't read that article, but I think that gives us the gist. So, and I thought it was pretty cool. I'm having trouble getting started today. I'm not sure what the deal is. Anyway, here we go.
World news.
Sikkim. Chinese and Indian troops in new border clash. Chinese and Indian troops have reportedly clashed again in a disputed area with injuries on both sides. The incident took place in northern Sikkim last Wednesday. India's army said there had been a minor incident that had been resolved. And minor and resolved are in quotes. Tensions are high along the world's longest disputed border. Both sides claim large areas of territory. At least 20 Indian soldiers died in a skirmish in the Ladakh area last June. It happened at Naku La in northern Sikkim. The media report said Sikkim is an Indian state sandwiched between Bhutan and Nepal, about 2,500 kilometers east of the Ladakh area. And Sikkim is S-I-K-K-I-M. A Chinese patrol tried to enter Indian territory and was forced back, the officials said. Some reports said sticks and stones were used, but there were no gunshots. An Indian Army statement played down the incident, saying there was a minor face-off at a Naku La area north of Sikkim on January 20th, and the same was resolved by local commanders as per established protocols. One source told the Times of India that both sides brought in reinforcements after a brawl, but there was no gunfire. So, it's a real he-said-she-said situation. The editor-in-chief of China's state-affiliated Global Times tweeted there was no record of this clash in the patrol log of the Chinese side. And, so it's pretty interesting. There is a map if you go to the bbc.com to see that. Hello, exiled. Welcome. Yeah. Kashmir is another interesting and painful point. We'll talk about them soon, I think. We jump over to Italy. Italy's PM is going to resign on Tuesday after a cabinet meeting. It's coming to us from Reuters. Italian Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte will hand in his resignation to the head of state on Tuesday after convening the cabinet to inform ministers of his decision. Conte hopes President Sergio Mattarella will give him a mandate to form a new government with broader backing in parliament. Conte lost his absolute majority in the upper house Senate last week when a junior partner, the Italia Viva party, headed by former Premier Matteo Renzi, quit in a row over the government's handling of the coronavirus crisis and economic recession. So, see that? Ooh, eggnog cereal. That sounds interesting. Good luck. All right. Sorry, I'm talking at calm. I forget not to do that sometimes. Alrighty, let's keep moving. Turkey and Greece are resuming talks on maritime disputes. So that's kind of a step in the right direction. I think Turkey and Greece resumed talks aimed at addressing long-standing maritime disputes on Monday, ending a five-year hiatus after months of tension in the Eastern Mediterranean. The neighboring NATO members are at odds over claims to Mediterranean waters and energy rights, airspace, and the status of some islands in the Aegean Sea. They made little progress in 60 rounds of talks from 2002 to 2016. Plans for resuming talks foundered last year over Turkey's deployment of a seismic survey vessel in contested waters and disagreements over which topics they would cover. The vessel was withdrawn to Turkish shores last year. Ankara and Athens agreed this month to resume the talks in Istanbul in a test of Turkey's hopes of improving its relations with the EU, which has supported European Union member Greece, and threatened sanctions on Turkey. As the talks resume, French Defense Minister Florence Parly said France will present proposals to Greece for the renewal of its fleet of frigates, and had finalized a 2.5 billion euro deal for Greece's purchase of 18 Dassault-made Rafale fighter jets. So, we'll see what happens there, but it's good. Yeah, it's totally makes sense. Oh yeah. So hopefully this works out for the best. Some more good news. Well, at least sort of good news, potentially good news, if we keep on with that. Coming to us, a Ugandan court ordered security forces on Monday to free opposition leader and pop star Bobby Wine. Hooray! His house arrest since a presidential election has drawn international pressure on President Yoweri Museveni's government. Hours later, his large compound in a leafy northern suburb of the capital Kampala remained blockaded. The military and police are still surrounding our home, and indeed, they are still locking our gates and not allowing anybody out to move out or anybody to come in, he told Reuters in a video message. Former guerrilla leader Museveni, 76, has long been a Western ally, receiving copious aid and sending troops to trouble spots, including Somalia, to fight Islamic militants. But foreign governments have become increasingly frustrated as reluctance to cede power and crack down on opponents. Wine, 38, has been besieged at his home since voting in the January 14th election, where he rode a wave of youth disillusionment to challenge Museveni's 34-year rule. So. it's good times. Definitely, if you listen to a non-radio, it's worth it for to join Calm, even if you're just going to lurk and read, because it's fun. And there's some good jokes in there. So anyway, the military is not letting him off the hook, even though the courts ordered it. Museveni is casting Wine as an upstart backed by foreign powers and says only his administration can guarantee political stability and progress. There is no immediate government comment on the court ruling about Wine. So, like any good dictator, after the election, anyone who opposed him will be punished. So hopefully, you know, they'll respect the court's decision and let him live his life. All right, now it's time to get into the more sad news. So buckle up. 13 dead, thousands homeless in southern Africa after Storm Eloise. The death toll from Storm Eloise rose to at least 13 on Monday after heavy winds, rain, and flooding destroyed buildings, drowned crops, and displaced thousands in parts of southern Africa. Eloise weakened from a cyclone to a tropical storm after making landfall in central Mozambique on Saturday, but continued to dump rain on Zimbabwe, Eswatini, formerly known as Swaziland, South Africa, and Botswana. 6 people were killed in Mozambique, the country's National Institute for Disaster Risk Management and Reduction reported, while the number of displaced people rose to more than 8,000, with thousands of homes wrecked or flooded. 5-year-old child was killed in South Africa's eastern Mpumalanga province after being swept away, said George Mthwena, head of communications for the Provincial Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs. In neighboring Limpopo, fast-flowing rivers destroyed a bridge, leaving people hoping to cross stranded on either side. Others waded through the knee-high floodwaters. Can't tell, but not on Lesotho. Did I call it wrong? Zimbabwe, Swaziland. It's called Eswatini. Oh, the Limpopo River, yeah. Rainfall is starting to ease off slowly, said Pusaletto Mofokeng, senior forecaster at the South African Weather Service, adding there was still a risk of localized flooding as more rain was expected on saturated ground. Zimbabwe's National Water Authority also warned that dams were spilling over and could cause floods further downstream. Following Cyclone Idai in 2019, rainwater flowed from Zimbabwe back into Mozambique, causing devastating floods. Over 1,000 people died across the region, with the impoverished coastal nation bearing the blunt. And that is why we talk about these stories, because who knew 1,000 people died in 2019 after the cyclone? I hadn't heard that, so yeah. Anyway, good luck out there. I hope the flooding recedes and no one else dies. Meanwhile, in Zimbabwe, Nick Magwana apologizes. For what? Well, a spokesman for Zimbabwe's government, who called doctors in the country medical assassins, has apologized In comments posted to Twitter, Nick Manguana had suggested that four cabinet ministers who died in recent months of coronavirus had in fact been eliminated. Zimbabwe's Medical Association reacted with fury. They insisted their staff were working hard with few resources and little pay to fight the pandemic. Following the backlash, Mr. Mangwala stated on Twitter that he had no intention to offend and said he hoped Zimbabweans could move on and not be distracted from work at hand. He since appears to have deleted all of his posts on the matter from the social media platform. More than 28,000 people in Zimbabwe are known to have contracted the virus since the outbreak began, of whom more than 800 have since died, including Foreign Minister Sibusiso Moyo last week. Coffee. So, let's go on here. Tea. Our correspondents say some Zimbabweans have noted that because of lockdown restrictions, the country's political elites are no longer able to rush abroad to seek medical treatment as former President Robert Mugabe once did so routinely. Instead, Zimbabwe's rulers are now obliged, mid-pandemic, to depend on a health system which they stand accused of breaking. Ooh, sick burn. All right. Let's go up into Europe. Dutch police are clashing with anti-curfew protesters amid looting and vandalism. Protesters against a curfew to curb the spread of COVID-19 in the Netherlands degenerated into clashes with police and looting in cities across the country Sunday. Police used water cannons and dogs in Amsterdam. Public television NOS, November Oscar Sierra, reported after hundreds gathered to protest the curfew, which is set to last until February 10th and is the country's first since World War II. In the southern city of Eindhoven, police fired tear gas to disperse the crowd of several hundred. Regional television Omroep Brabant reported at least 30 people were arrested there, according to police. A number of vehicles were burned, and businesses at Eindhoven's central train station were also looted. Dutch rail company NS, that's November Sierra, called on travelers to avoid the Eindhoven station, where it said train circulation was interrupted due to the intervention of emergency services nearby. So, Philips Glolam from Brikren. Is that a real name? Not sure. So, yeah, there's a curfew and there's protests going on and people are not happy. You can read more at France 24. Now, let's talk. We were at 20 minutes after, so we got one more international story. We have a few, but one more before our song. So we go back to China. We've been talking about this gold mine. Well, 9 found dead in China gold mine as rescue effort continues. So rescuers searching for the remaining workers trapped in a Chinese gold mine after Sunday's... On Sunday they extracted 11 survivors and found 9 bodies, taking the death toll to 10, with one miner still missing. A total of 22 miners working about 600 meters underground were trapped after an explosion. 11 were pulled out alive on Sunday after 2 weeks underground, including one in a very weak condition to whom rescue teams had been able to send supplies. That one person, I think, is the one that was... Remember we talked about there were 2 tunnels, one guy... There was only one guy alive in that bottom tunnel, and there were 11 or 10 missing people. And then the one above him, there were 10 guys that were okay and one that was missing. So that kind of... I think that makes sense. All right. Until this worker is found, we will not give up. Chen and other officials involved in the rescue effort held a moment of silence for the victims bowing their heads. Cause of the accident at the mine, which was under construction, is under investigation. The explosion was large enough to release 70 tons of debris. Authorities have detained mine managers for delaying reporting of the incident. So, we'll see what happens there. Oof. Sucks. All right. Well, you know what? It's okay because we're going to play a song. I like to listen to this song every couple of weeks, and I hopefully don't overshare it with you guys. But this is called Birds in the Morning by Butterflies. Tempted by the plastic food and wigs outnumber the head. Promises are white boots and
chocolate by the side of the bed. Birds in the morning on a wire told me a secret. Birds in the morning on a wire told me a secret. Somebody said they were lovers, so I'm gonna make a citizen's arrest and bury my face in the television and make excuses about all the reasons she left. Birds in the morning on a wire told me a secret. Birds in the morning.
Listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
That is right. We've got about 5 minutes to go before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe kicks off. It's Monday, which means we've got Harry Larry after that. Should be a good time. It usually is. But because of the time, it's now headlines, headline rundown time. I should really make a sound for that. To wrap up the EU warnings or EU news, Brussels warns Britain against downgrading EU ambassador status, denying mission full privileges under the Vienna Convention risk poisoning diplomatic ties. So, one, Brussels is telling Britain, don't you do anything silly. And meanwhile, MasterCard has told the UK, we're going to raise fees by at least 400% for EU firms selling to UK customers. MasterCard is going to increase the fees EU firms face to take payments from online shoppers from the UK by at least 400%, and a move that could mean higher prices for consumers. When a credit or debit card is used, a percentage of the purchase price is paid by the retailer to the bank that issued it as an interchange fee, which is set by a payments firm. MasterCard's interchange fee is currently 0.3% on credit card payments and 0.2% on debit card payments, but it has told EU firms that these will increase to 1.5 and 1.15 respectively from October 15th. The Financial Times, which first reported the change, said the rise would benefit banks and card providers rather than MasterCard. Since 2015, the EU has capped these fees across the European Economic Area, including within the UK. Oh, an unspoken protection has been lost since 2015. Anyway, MasterCard's current charges are in line with the cap. The new fees meet a cap for non-EEA cards, that's the European Economic Area, used for online purchases within the area, which includes Iceland, Liechtenstein, and Norway, as well as EU countries. The change announced by MasterCard will apply to online sales at shops and businesses based in the EEA that are made on UK-issued card. Travelers will not face the higher rate on face-to-face sales. So, MasterCard's statement said, as a result of the UK leaving the European Economic Area, MasterCard will adapt interchange rates on UK cards to the commitment it gave the European Commission in 2019 for non-EEA card transactions. In practice, only EEA merchants making e-commerce sales to UK cardholders will see a change. Interchange is not a consumer-facing cost, but the fees paid between merchant and banks for the provision of payments. Consumers should not feel any impact of changes in interchange fees. At least that's what MasterCard says. So yeah, it's pretty rough. So let's keep rolling. Sorry, I got reading the story because I thought it was really interesting. All right, we've got like 90 seconds or something. So now it is time to step up the pace, pump up the jams, you know, that kind of thing. Xi Jinping went on TV and said attempts to threaten or intimidate others will further divide the world, and warned against a new Cold War. It was a really great article on Al Jazeera if you want to read it, but it's kind of neat to see China being the one to say, hey guys, let's chill out, let's all be friends and just make some money. Egyptian police arrest cartoonist on 10th anniversary of uprising. Human rights and media freedom groups demand immediate release of Ashraf Hamdi, who was taken from his home after posting a video tribute to the 2011 uprising. He's got 3 million viewers on YouTube, so hopefully he gets enough traction to get free. WhatsApp has reportedly lost millions of users after its terms update. And that's all the time we got. I'll post a link to all the news stories on Mastodon later today.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.
Here comes the Dubious Goals Committee. They're so dubious. It's so dubious. 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 Is there Pippa? I don't know.